church, or school. In today's society, being prepared could be the difference that saves your life. That's why you're invited to the Danger Zone 2, an active shooter seminar, Thursday, September 3rd at the Eisman Center in Richardson from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. This seminar is your opportunity to gain valuable insight on what to do in dangerous real-life scenarios. This seminar will explore many of the most recognized suggestions for dealing with an active shooter situation. It's perfect for church leaders, school teachers, administrators, officials, parents, anyone who's ready to learn and be prepared for the unexpected. The Danger Zone 2, Thursday, September 3rd at the Eisman Center, featuring presentations from FBI Dallas, private sector experts, and more. For info and to purchase your tickets now, visit 660amtheanswer.com and click on the link. A presentation of the FBI Dallas Citizens Academy Alumni Association, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, not part of the FBI.
Saying "I don't know" is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM, The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Well, hello, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk? And thank you so much for tuning in. We are in our second hour with our leading ladies, Jenny McGarry and Mari Sullivan. Jenny swallowed wrong.
She's off tonight. I tell you, I'm just off.
Anyway, hello, ladies. We want to loop back. We talked in this show, and I was trying to think about this on the way here when we talked about this, but several months ago, we talked about how the federal government, through the office of U.S. Department of Education and the Office of Civil Rights, had begun making rules and regulations for colleges, pushing colleges to have more stringent sexual assault standards and hearings. But Mari, I think you had that story before. You want to take it up again? We want to tell you about an amazing thing happening. I mean, it's all about due process for college students. And you moms out there with young sons or your brothers, you need to care about how colleges are treating your sons.
Debbie, that's exactly right. Colleges are a dangerous place for young men right now because if they misread sexual intimacy signals, they can be brought into disciplinary actions that could lead to their expulsion from college. And here's what Harvard law professor said about the basic procedure set up by the Department of Education through this Dear Colleague letter that I think you mentioned, which states very clearly that basic fairness, the elements of due process, are not there. That overwhelmingly everything is stacked against the accused. And so my question is, how can this be happening in our country where the Department of Education, their Office of Civil Rights, Obama, Kristen Gillibrand, all of these senators that want to codify this basic lack of due process into law, where is their concern for our basic constitutional rights?
I could not agree more. You know, we have several cases, or I have several cases in my little stack of stuff in front of me, but, you know, this idea, I want to just take one step back and say, the American left lives by creating a victim class. There's always a new victim. Somebody's a victim, and they swoop in to save them. Several years ago, some of the left-wing women's organizations started talking about this culture of rape on campus, and this massive, just crazy numbers, like 1 in 5 women are sexually assaulted during their college career. And so, fortunately for those of us who live in reality, we had other organizations look into this and point out that it was an extreme exaggeration. It was, I mean, it's something more like 1 out of 41 have some incident, many of them minor, that are involved in sexual assault. But what we got around to was we had this victim class created by the left, and the left swoops in to say, hey, we're going to save you. We're going to get tough. We're going to make new regulations on sexual assault on college campuses. And part of what, and you mentioned Kristen Gillibrand,
yes,
is their name.
Mm-hmm.
She was part, I think, of the first bill that essentially was written in such a stringent manner, essentially to say, once a young woman accused a guy of some inappropriate behavior, some intimacy that was not, she said, not consensual, it went from, the bill itself went from calling them the accused, you know, the accuser to calling her the victim. She was the victim, like as though the facts were resolved, and the same for the guy. Instead of being called the accused, he was the perpetrator. And so there's a mentality that has just invaded this thought about what happens on college campuses, all coming from the American left, trying to say this is another victim class, but they are making victims of our young men, of our young college students.
Well, that's right, Debbie. And the more you get into these cases, and the one that I sent you that is really the poster child for what's going on is a young man and a young woman at Washington and Lee University. This would be a great case for you to put on your website. Got together at a party. They had some drinks. They had intimacy. He drove her home the next morning. There was no indication. All of the evidence in the what I'll call a kangaroo court proceeding indicated that it was completely consensual. But it doesn't matter, because what this young lady got to thinking after she had one more sexual encounter with him, then she went to a party and saw him kissing another girl, then she found out he had a permanent girlfriend. This hurt her, which is understandable. She went to work at a rape crisis center and got to thinking from doing research on Google that there's something called gray rape, this concept that if you have regret...
Gray, like G-R-A-Y.
G-R-A-Y, yeah. That if you have regret after sexual intimacy, under some circumstances, that can be considered rape. Well, this isn't a statutory, you know, criminal description of rape that I'm aware of. But at any rate, so she brought a case to the student governance there. And who was the person that decided the case? A woman who's the Title IX coordinator that talks about gray rape and this concept of that there is, if you have regret, that's rape. She's the judge and jury. This young man is brought before her. He's not given notice of what the meeting is about. He asked for a lawyer, no lawyer. He was forced to give statements that, if there was a criminal case, could be used against him. The bottom line is none of the procedures, even in a civil court case, that would be provided to a defendant were allowed him. He was railroaded, according to the judge. And he was expelled because of his gender, and that her bias was one of the main reasons that led to this decision by the court. It's just an outrageous holding.
It is outrageous. Well, actually, so the incident happened at Washington and Lee, and this the incident of them meeting each other and getting together, and then they had this hearing there at Washington and Lee. What's happened is, because he was expelled, he's filed a lawsuit in state court in Virginia. And so it's a state court judge now looking at the first time at how the college conducted itself and saying, basically, are you kidding me? You cannot. This is not, because, you know, it's interesting for our listeners, you know, in a criminal prosecution, you know you may be facing jail, and the Fourth Amendment protections, all sorts of protections, apply to you if you're a criminal defendant. But this is at a college campus, and so the only outcome, they can't send you to jail, they can suspend you or expel you. But that's a very rough thing, to be suspended or expelled for this reason, and then think... This is, you know, that you can have that result, how much it could impact your future life, you're finding jobs, you're getting admitted to another college, all those things. And there, I mean, the protections are all the assumption the woman's telling the truth and the assumption that the guy basically doesn't have any defense, or pretty much no defense is available. And the phrase that this woman used, I'm going to say her name, this is the woman, not the accuser, this is the woman who is the Title IX officer at Washington Lee, Lauren Kozak. And Lauren Kozak used the expression repeatedly, regret equals rape. She's saying, because this girl decided later, gee, I sure wish I hadn't done that, I'm kind of embarrassed. And she was inebriated, as he was, but somehow, you know, the fact that she feels guilty after she had this incident with him, she's actually gone a whole summer at this women's clinic looking into sexual assault cases, came back, talked some more, and decided, after all, now I want to complain about it. And, you know, I had this thought about it. I wanted to share with both of you, see what you think. This whole thing gets started about looking at college campuses as though that there's just rampant, sexual assault occurring versus, you know, college campuses and young people are going to be young people on college campuses. And I'm not explain or decrying or explaining or condoning. I'm just saying these are young people who are consuming alcohol and drugs and may be having behavior that isn't modeled. If they later in their life look back and say, man, I'm not too proud of myself then. But what the women's pushing this as rape is turned into is they're talking and treating women as though they are inept, that they can't be held responsible for their own conduct, that they are truly children. So somehow a woman who engages in conduct she's later embarrassed by is you know, can fall into a system where regret is rape. Okay, can't get backwards. Regret equals rape. And so she can't be responsible to, for example, learn from it, to stand up for herself, to say to the guy, you really hurt my feelings, I'm never dating you again. I mean, you can do things in social circles, but they're giving her all the rights in this. And this is, you know, this is, ladies, you might think, great, this is protecting women, but it's not. It's treating women like they're stupid.
Well, and Debbie, it doesn't protect women, because here's what happens in these civil proceedings where they're decided by preponderance of the evidence. These students are expelled if they're accused of sexual assault or rape, and they're put out into the community. Now, in a criminal justice system, which is what is completely applicable here, if a person has raped a person, they go to jail if that is proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So nobody is safe here. Let's just say it is somebody that is an actual rapist. They're expelled. They're out in the community. It doesn't save anybody. It doesn't save the person that was, you know, the victim, and it doesn't save society. So this is a political movement where the Democrats, in my opinion, are addressing the feminist radicals on campus that think that this is a bedrock of rape
culture. This constitutes standing up for women. It doesn't. It demeans women. I'm sorry, Jenny.
I'm a little torn on the issue. I'm not going to lie. In college, there was a girl that I was very good friends with who went through a similar situation at a party where she fell asleep in a room. She had too much to drink. She fell asleep and things happened. The next day, she was very embarrassed by it. The day after that, she did start going to her friends and saying, this happened. I'm not sure how to deal with it. She was sexually assaulted and she was vilified. The entire group of guys all said, oh, no, this couldn't have happened. She was completely vilified. But my thought is this. It wasn't a situation where she waited months and months to tell somebody. It wasn't a situation that she had any question of what happened to her.
Well, then these are two different cases.
But I'm saying, you know, there has to be some kind of a standard in place of you can't just go back and say, well, I regret drinking that last drink. Therefore, the person who served it to me should be fined. There's a problem with that. There needs to be a clear process on both sides. And being a mom of both a boy and girls, I see that there needs to be a change in the attitude that I saw when I was on a college campus. But it doesn't need to swing so far that we're violating the rights of the other person on the other side of this argument.
You know, that this is actually a good conversation to have, because I think there are, I mean, the incident you described, if I'm understanding the facts correctly, this woman was passed out. I mean, she even knows what's happening.
Yes.
Okay, this is black and white. This is,
and she woke up to this.
Yeah, okay, so this is black and white, though, because in that case, there really was non-consensual conduct. And so this girl is, well, we're talking about this case in Virginia, and there are literally, ladies, dozens of cases like this. This is where she was inebriated, and so was he, but she remembered afterwards, she dated him again, she got together with him again. This is a very different picture. I agree there are cases like, and I know of a case actually at my college too, similar to what you're talking about, Jenny, but that's a case where, you know, she gave no consent. And so for her to have, and in that case, honestly, you can go to the prosecutor in town, go to the district attorney. And at the time I was in college, I don't think there was anything in place on campus to go to. So maybe someplace on campus. But I really want to make something very, very clear, because it's so important. The distinction in these cases and why a lot of civil rights peoples, including Alan Dershowitz, who's the liberal of liberals, is making the point that, you know, you have to have rules in place that are fair, that allow fair prosecution. And the case you described, this is a woman who gave no consent. And therefore, of course, it was sexual assault. And whether she could have gone to college, you know, officials or to a prosecutor, it's just a different ball of wax. I will say what happens, though, is that with a lot of drinking happening and people are not really remembering exactly what happened, and this is unfair, again, to both sides. And I'm a mother of a girl and two boys. I want the laws to be fair to the boys. I want my daughter protected. I know what you're saying. But it just seems to me this whole getting a college campus hearing board in the middle of it is really prone to stepping on people's rights.
Well, and when you read Kirsten Gillibrand's bill, one of the things that's very important to understand here is women have a choice on campus, and this is a problem. In other words, a lot of women don't bring rape charges against accused defendants because they choose not to. And they may have reasons for that. And so you should either be accused of sexual assault or rape or not. And if you are accused, the criminal justice system should come into play. But when a woman can decide, well, I just don't want to see John on campus anymore, I'm embarrassed, or it makes me feel uncomfortable, or this is where you have due process and basic fairness just ripped apart. People have to know what a crime is, what the accusation is, and then it has to be pursued. This concept, I just don't want to see this person on campus anymore, is
exactly what it is. We're up against our break
bad.
Here, but it's a crime or it's not a crime.
Right.
And if it's a crime, whether the campus process follows it or whether the prosecutor does, there's something very off about letting anyone translate a drunken consensual action into a way to get somebody else kicked off campus because now I'm embarrassed. I hate when, and besides, he likes somebody else, not me. And this is exactly what's happening in a couple of these cases we read about. Okay, so we're going to zip off to our break. This is Debbie Georges, Janie McGarry, Maury Sullivan, Ladies Kimmy Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Come back after the break. We're going to talk about our mighty troops over in a train going to Paris, putting a Muslim terrorist in his place. Come back after the break.
Dallas, Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
If an ad campaign said, "Try this product, everyone who tries it hates it," you wouldn't buy the product unless you got tricked into buying it. That is what the American left is doing when they slip socialist ideas into America's policies. They have to hide them or wrap them up in a shiny package of slippery words, or we wouldn't buy them. Cuba has miles of stunning beaches perfect for a booming tourism industry that could employ thousands, but they don't, and Cubans are poor and hungry. Hi, I'm Debbie Georgiatis, and on my show, Ladies Can We Talk, we talk about America and socialism. There's a reason that Cubans try to sneak out of Cuba and into America every chance they get. Socialism spreads misery and crushes freedom and the human spirit. Free markets give Americans the best living standard on earth, and they give everyone the most freedom to pursue their dreams. Tune in every Sunday morning to my show, and we'll talk about it.
Frank, I really think we need an American Home Shield home warranty.
But we have homeowners insurance.
I'm worried about our home appliances and systems breaking down, like our air conditioner. Homeowners insurance doesn't cover any of that. A home warranty does.
But homeowners insurance covers stuff that might happen, like a meteor crashing into our house or a Bigfoot attack.
A Bigfoot attack?
There's a Bigfoot outside now.
That's the neighbor's dog.
Mm-mm, sounds like a Bigfoot.
Homeowners insurance can cover the things that might happen, like Bigfoot destroying your home. But an American Home Shield home warranty covers what will happen, like your home systems and appliances breaking down. Protect your budget from covered breakdowns of up to 21 major home systems and appliances, your air conditioner, plumbing, refrigerator, and more. For valuable free information, call 1-800-900-9517.
Pretty sure that's a Bigfoot.
For valuable free information about an American Home Shield home warranty, call 1-800-900-9517. That's 1-800-900-9517. 1-800-900-9517.
911, what is your emergency?
Please help me. My car, it's been stolen.
Did you know the FBI reports that every 40 seconds a vehicle is stolen in America? And if you think it's only the flashy sports cars, think again. Hey, Kurt Chase here for GuidePoint System. With over 25 years in the auto industry and now host of the Automotive Edge radio show, I've helped a lot of consumers find a replacement for their stolen car, truck, and SUV. And trying to replace that exact car with your insurance company? Well, let's just think for a second. A GuidePoint anti-theft recovery system or trying to replace your car. Not only is GuidePoint System an anti-theft recovery system, but also with the push of a button, connect to a live GuidePoint representative 24/7 for roadside assistance, emergencies, and directions. To learn more about GuidePoint, go to GuidePointSystems.com That's GuidePointSystems.com. GuidePoint System, the only anti-theft recovery system endorsed by the Automotive Edge Radio Show.
Are you a first-time gun owner or maybe thinking about getting a gun for self-defense? Then you need to go to Patriot Protection for concealed handgun license classes and tactics. Patriot Protection is where first-time shooters can learn firearm and safety skills in a welcoming and friendly environment, using non-lethal ammunition with a trained professional at your side. At Patriot Protection, there are no distracting gunshot noises, no gunpowder odors, and no bulky hearing protection to muffle the instructors. Patriot Protection also specializes in offering live scenario training. Instructors will teach you tactics for what to do in the event of an active shooter, home invasion, carjacking, road rage encounter, and even what to do if you're in a convenience store being robbed, using live demonstrations in their simulation studios for a limited time only. Get a Groupon for up to 63% off concealed handgun license classes. To learn more, go to patriotprotection.net. That's patriotprotection.net.
This is 660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there. Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. Thank you for tuning in. I got my leading lady buddies tonight, Mari Sullivan and Jenny McGarry. And Jenny's going to talk to you in 1 second about this amazing bravery of these Americans on this troop, on this train headed to Paris. But I want to add one more thing to our discussion of the last segment. We were talking about the campus atmosphere of rape that was falsely generated by the American left, and then how we had the victim class, and then we had all these hearings. And really what the problem in those hearings is twofold. One is that we are causing serious consequences to occur in a young man's life where he may or may not have engaged in conduct that is punishable, but we're saying you can be accused, but you don't get your basic due process rights. You don't get representation. You can't face your accuser. You can't, just all those things. And these are bedrock American building blocks. These matter in America. We don't have kangaroo courts in America, and that's what's happening in these college campuses. The other big point I wanted to raise is this. There are very serious, genuine cases of rape. They actually happen all over America and on college campuses. And when you allow a young woman who chose to drink too much and engage in consensual intimacy with some guy, and who later is thinking, now that I think about it, I'm kind of embarrassed. Turns out he doesn't like me. I thought he liked me, and now I'm kind of embarrassed, and my friends are making fun of me, or he has a girlfriend, and I feel jealous. And that constitutes anything actionable. You're really harming true victims of rape. Because what happens is atmosphere of accusation, suspicion, false accusation, it makes it harder for real cases of rape to be believed and heard. And that is the most outrageous consequence of all. Okay, now we can turn to Jenny, who was going to tell us about the American heroes.
I am just so excited about this because I'll tell you, on Friday, I'm at my doctor's office, been there all day. I get a phone call from my wonderful husband, John, shout out. I have to say that,
<He's nice.
laughs> that he tells me, did you hear about the foiled terrorist attack? And I'm like, what? Yeah, there were three Marines, we think, and they were Americans, and they stopped this attack on a French train. So immediately I'm sitting here at the doctor's office trying to get online and trying to find information. And as it turns out, it was an incredible story. I was so inspired by. We have three guys that were childhood friends. Okay, and their names. I want you to know their names. Alec Skarlatos from the Army National Guard. Shout out, Dorinda. Airman Spencer Stone and Cal State from the Sacramento State, California State in Sacramento. Anthony Sadler. These three gentlemen took down what could have been an incredible massacre on a high-speed train in France, just because they just got what was going on and worked together. And that is what America is about.
It is like American troops are about. Well, you should tell some more of it. I mean, one was the part I was saying on the break, we were all jabbering about this. There were French security forces on this train who ran and hid. No kidding. People were screaming. It was a Muslim terrorist. It was a Moroccan Muslim terrorist. And, you know, you saw the media, you know, first starting to say, Moroccan guy, unclear motive. It's like, does anyone think it's a Norwegian pastor from Iowa? I don't think so. Well, you know who it's going to be. But anyway, the French security forces ran and hid. And so these people, these passengers are getting, you know, this crazy guy's on there about to shoot a gun. They go hide.
And let me tell you one other thing. Our American press didn't get it right first. We had to get the word from the BBC and Daily Mail UK. Those were the ones that first got what was going on. In our press, they were saying, well, we're not quite sure what occurred. There was some sort of shooting. We don't believe it's terrorist related and whatnot. But guess what? Our guys came to the rescue, and as I said it in a Facebook post, you know, what was the old saying? Now I can't even remember.
Okay, I'm not trying to get on Facebook really fast.
not Pershing, but, you know, oh, gosh. And it came from, it wasn't Pershing, but it was a colonel, Colonel Stanton, Charles Stanton, I believe, who said, Lafayette, we have arrived.
Oh, I was trying to get on Facebook on my phone really fast.
But okay. So you have these three guys. You're sitting on the train, you know, actually napping, and they, you know, visiting, and you have a guy coming out of a washroom who is completely weaponized, you know, AK-47, et cetera, et cetera. And then there was a Frenchman who actually did try to stop him and was, I think he might have been shot. He might have been the one that was shot in the throat, or that may have happened later on. But then our guys jump on him, and the guy keeps yelling to get his gun back, the terrorist. Are we allowed to say that? Potential jihadist. You know, he's yelling at the guys, give me my gun back, give me my gun. And they start hitting him harder. He gets poor Airman Stone, almost slices his thumb off. This guy is amazing. One guy in the corner, there was a bullet dislodged, hit the civilian in the corner in the throat. Stone, after taking down this terrorist, takes off his shirt, goes over, uses first aid, stops the bleeding in the neck, and they think that he may have saved this guy's life. I mean, he takes down a terrorist with his two friends and then goes off to save somebody's life. I mean, hello, that is America.
It is.
Jenny,
I love it.
Was this shooter radicalized by the Islamic State? I think I read that.
Oh, I don't know if he was okay. Long State or not.
He was on the watch list. So they were aware that this person could be dangerous. But let me talk a little bit about our guys, okay? There was a great article that I read that was an editorial by a British officer, Colonel Tim Collins. He talks about our military and how this should not be surprising to anybody that it was our military that actually did this. And I'll tell you some of the things that he talked about. He talked about how our men and women in our uniforms proudly serve the country. And their pride extends to the country's uniform, service, and our flag. That this isn't just about fighting just for the sake of fighting. This is about having something that they really believe in. If you go to an airport, he talks about, the writer, he says, listen carefully in any U.S. airport for the frequent announcements inviting U.S. service personnel to special lounges. When they fly in uniform, they will always be offered an upgrade, and they will always refuse. Regarding sitting with the other citizens, their duty, is it any wonder that they respond by serving their country so well?
Amen, sister. It's just a great story. And, you know, I it really feels especially great because we're living in an era where we have so many of our servicemen have served in the Middle East and served Iraq and Afghanistan, are still trying to. And so we just, our military needs our continued love and support and encouragement and appreciation. You know, we have a major, major battle ahead of us trying to deal with whatever is going to become of ISIS, whatever we're going to do to finally take them down. We can't just let it keep going. So this pride in America's military just warms my heart. And it was a perfect segue to say, well, go off to our break. We're going to come back. We can talk a little more about that if you have any more points to make. But I want to turn and talk about the latest development in this Iranian deal. And again, as I said before, we'll finish after the break, but this Iranian deal is the top of the list of house on fire. It's more important than any other issue facing America. this Iranian deal is really, truly the biggest vote that's happened truly in 100 years in our Congress. So come on back after the break to Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer with Mari Sullivan and Janie McGarry, and we'll be right back and talk about the Iranian deal and the latest on that.
660 AM The Answer. The Michael Medved Show.
A veteran Democrat says his party's in worse shape than at any time since the Depression, and it'll still be in terrible shape even if Hillary wins. Why? Because of Obama. And North Korea is threatening to launch World War IV over the weekend. We'll talk about it and the chances for devastating war in Asia.
The Michael Medved Show, afternoons at 5, right after the Sean Hannity Show at 2, 660 AM, The Answer.
Ladies, did you hear that public schools in America are pushing for the expansion of the number of kids who are served dinner at school, along, of course, with breakfast and lunch? And the trend is growing. In 13 states, just last year, 104 million dinners served to students in schools. And the government reimburses schools for serving dinners, often paying the schools more than the food costs. So the schools are, of course, incentivized to grow these programs. A win-win, right? Except, what about the impact this trend will have on family closeness, parental responsibilities, and family planning decisions? And who spends time with your kids shaping the next generation's views? This is Debbie Georgiadis. While we do have a noble society that cares for the poor, our policies and our tax dollars should not be used to wean parenting responsibilities away from parents or that substitute government for mom and dad. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and Ladies, Can We Talk?
Dallas Baptist University Women's Night Out featuring Shonda Pierce, Thursday, October 15th, 2015, with Lindsay McCall and Karen Williams.
You ever tried to put on a pair of Spanx in an airplane bathroom? My body twisted in ways I didn't know it could.
Focus on the funny. Get your women's group together for a fun night out. Women's Night Out at Northwood Church in Keller, Texas.
So, you know, I was. I didn't want to give in to the peer pressure, but they already had their bags of mascara out and their lipstick, and I'm like, what I got? Bliss text.
Tickets on sale at itickets.com. Call 1-800-965-9324. For group tickets, go to getgrouptickets.com or call 844-381-4751. Buy 10 or more reserve seats at one time and save $5 per ticket. Buy 30 or more reserve seats at one time and save $5 per ticket and get two free tickets from Salem Media Group, Inc. and Awakening Events.
Sample comes with a 90-day order. Copays and deductibles may apply.
If you or someone you care for are using painful urinary catheters, Medical Direct Club can help. There's a new catheter that hurts less, and you can get a free sample with free shipping by calling now. Pain and urinary tract infections can be avoided if you're using urinary catheters. The new disposable catheters from Medical Direct Club hurt less due to an incredible new design that reduces pain by gliding easily and effortlessly. Old catheters can scrape and cut, causing pain and infection. These new catheters from Medical Direct Club are changing the lives of people who use urinary catheters. Medicare and your insurance will pay for up to 200 of these new catheters per month at little or no cost to you. Medical Direct Club handles all of the paperwork with your doctor and includes lifetime free shipping when you join. Membership and a free sample are free, so call Medical Direct Club now. 1-800-600-6144. That's 1-800-600-6144. End painful cathing today. Call 1-800-600-6144.
The founder of Lumber Liquidators has returned and is taking us back to basics so you can get the best selection of quality hardwood at the best price. This week, get clearance deals on pre-finished hardwood starting at $129. Hand-scraped tobacco road acacia for much less than what you'd pay elsewhere. More from 59 cents and 18 months financing.
Hi, I'm Tom Sullivan. I started Lumber Liquidators over 20 years ago with the basic idea, cutting out the middlemen, just good wood at a good price.
Sale ends Tuesday. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis right here on 660 AM. The Answer.
Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk, and thanks for tuning in. And our leading ladies this week are Janie McGarry, Mari Sullivan. You know, we were talking before the break a little bit about our wonderful American military and that great saving thing they did in the train and just how much America's military needs our support. Well, you know, I want to turn and talk about the Iranian deal again. And I've had several of my Speak Up for America segments, my opening segment of the show, on this subject. And so, you know, I sometimes think, well, I've really been through that, but I don't know who listens each week. You never know who's tuned in. This Iranian deal is kind of like if you're sitting down at the dinner table with your family, mom, dad, and the kids, and someone says, hey, by the way, the house is on fire. And before you're going to discuss the house on fire, you're going to resolve, you know, did the dog get a walk today yet? Or has someone fed the dog? There are issues, gradations of importance. The single most important issue facing America in terms of a security threat is radical Islam. Radical Islam around the world. There is no greater threat. Radical Islam is a threat to America, whether it is the Iranian threat, which is the Shia Muslims, who are simply going to use the money we're going to give them under this deal and kill more people and give more money to terrorist organizations. There are the Sunni Muslims, who are ISIS, and they are on a rampage to kill. They are beheading Christians and Jews and everybody in their path. And then we have a civilization jihad happening at home, which I've talked about many times. We've had different experts on the show describing what this is occurring. But this is the Muslim Brotherhood documented, written out plan for how to undermine American Christianity by what they call their term, slow civilization jihad. But what is the house burning down issue right now is the Iranian deal. And again, if you have not been tuned into this, which I'm sure you have because you're probably very tuned in people, but the Iranian deal was negotiated by President Obama along with five other countries, six countries total, and they basically, the alleged purpose of the deal was to go in and say, we're going to stop Iran from developing nuclear weapons, and we are going to get inspections so that we are sure that all these facilities that do have nuclear material that the Iranians claim they want to create for nuclear power, we're going to have certifiable inspections so we can go in and see, are they using this to develop nuclear weapons? So the goal of the negotiation was to stop Iran from having nuclear weapons. And in exchange, America and the world would withdraw these sanctions we've had against Iran for many years. The UN and countries within the UN, as well as America, have tried to isolate Iran. And the reason, in case you don't know this, I just have to cover it every time briefly, Iran is the single largest terror exporting country in the world. There is no country that does more damage terrorism-wise than Iran. Iran feeds terrorist organizations like Hamas, Hezbollah. They feed them with weapons, money, supplies. They are the single biggest terrorist exporting country in the world. They have hegemonic goals. Iran wants to be in control of the whole Middle East. And they are, again, Shia Muslims, and their gripe in part is that they are a minority within Islam. So we had this deal with them. We negotiated a deal. What came out of that deal and now Congress has, it was 60 days from the date of the deal to the point in which Congress has to make a vote, yes or no, on the deal. There are many problems. That date is September 17th. That's when the 60 days are up. And some people in Congress are saying, well, you know, but all these side deals were signed, we can't even see them. So it's kind of like being asked to sign a contract, but you don't know that all these subcontracts may be completely undermining everything you're signing. But what I wanted to bring up about the Iranian deal this week, in case you missed this story, is one of the side deals that's come to light is that the United Nations, in a side deal, this Iranian negotiation, is going to let Iran, the country we're worried about, let Iran inspect their own nuclear sites. Okay, that is like saying a police officer comes to your door with a search warrant and says, man, we're looking for the murder weapon. And you say, stay here, officer. Just describe the weapon you're looking for. I'll go look for you. And they leave the officer outside and run upstairs, come back and go, no, officer, sorry, it's not here. Obviously an absurdity. The idea Iran has any role in the inspections It is beyond belief. This all by itself is a reason for every member of the United States Congress and the United States Senate to vote this down. It is so outrageous. This is like Chamberlain dealing with Hitler prior to World War II starting. This is, Iran is that level of danger to the world. We're at the same point. We need to be smarter than Neville Chamberlain. We need to be America and say, and have our American troops say, no, you're not, you can't have this deal. But I'm going to compound all this to say, so the vote is happening then. Two other things I find mind-blowing. So one is Al Sharpton, you know, the agitator-in-chief for African-Americans, the just constant, you know, stirring people up guy. He came out with a statement urging black churches in America to send letters to their congressmen saying, vote for the Iranian deal. I mean, is that the craziest thing you ever heard of?
Absolutely. And I'll say, it's just like the fox guarding the hen house. This is all that we're setting up. And it just, it never ceases to amaze me how paternalistic this government has become under Obama, simply because they think that they know what's good for us and that we're not smart enough to figure out this is not a good deal.
I know. And, you know, we have members of the military, high ranking people saying, please don't do this. This is outrageous. We have people in Iran. I mean, we have Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, saying, and let me say, all during these negotiations, as we're over there making nice with them in Vienna, in the streets of Iran, both President Rouhani and the head Ayatollah Khamenei are out there leading death to America, death to Israel chants. It's the most absurd thing. It's like the deal, in addition to that we're going to stop, we're going to lift the sanctions, we're going to send them about $150 billion with a B dollars once we lift these sanctions and their frozen assets, which they're going to use to buy weapons.
Yeah. You know, Debbie, when we look at what's happening in the Middle East, everywhere is disaster, chaos, killing. ISIS has got a caliphate. Iran is sending their militias. They don't want a stable Iraq. We are fighting Iran in Iraq right now. Everything about this deal is outrageous, and everything about Obama's foreign policy is outrageous. He should have never pulled out of Iraq. That would be numero uno problem of his presidency. And yet we're supposed to listen to him as our great foreign policy leader. Here's what Jackie Mason, a great Jewish comedian, said about the deal. New York City restaurants subject to tougher inspections than Iran.
That's actually very well said. It is just, it's simply mind-blowing. And the other thing that's giving me a test, and we can't get into it tonight, but I want to just plant the seed, a huge test for our United States Congress and Senate. So suppose, I'm going to assume we can muster up the votes to say no to the deal. And President Obama is going to veto the Congress decision. And so then it falls back on Congress and the Senate. Can they come up with 2/3 to override the veto? My guess is going to be no, which is shocking when you think about it. This is like the single biggest national security issue facing the world, facing America in 100 years, is letting crazies, Muslim terrorists, have a nuclear weapon, and we can't see a problem with that. We can't really figure out whether that's a problem or not. They have ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, not even part of the deal. They can get a weapon over here with them if they didn't have one to ship off our shores anyway. It's crazy that we even have to discuss this. But the big question is going to be, so suppose that either we can't muster the votes in order to say no to the deal, or they say no and then Obama vetoes it. What are we going to do? What does Congress and the House and Senate do if President Obama, as many are predicting, he just goes forward and fulfills the terms of the deal anyway? The only answer, my very fine friends, is impeachment. And the question is, would Congress, would the Senate ever have the backbone to do that? Because there's no other way to stop him. And if he decides to go forward with the deal, we're surrendering America's security until the time he's finally out of there, you know, in exchange because we're afraid that, man, if we talk about impeachment, that might really make some people mad at us. I mean, this is such a time for leadership and nobility and American statesmanship needed in Congress.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing. Nobility, statesmanship. I haven't seen
name
that.
One.
I haven't seen that come out in a very, very long time. I've come to the conclusion that Obama just wants a distraction from what's happening in Korea. So, you know, we just need another stage.
That, yeah. Oh,
well, and let's look at what Bush said. The axis of evil is Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. Look what's happening. Bush had a foreign policy. It was called, we're not going to wait for an attack. We're going to be on the offense. There was WMD found in Iraq this year. New York Times reported it. It just wasn't discussed at the time. And the fact is, Bush did not lie about WMD. None other than Bob Woodward has made that statement on all the stations.
I know, which ties back to a point, and we've got to go off to our break, but this ties back to a point that our caller, last hour, Lawrence Billy Jones, was making, which is we can't message. That thing, Bush lied, people died, that is probably believed, I swear, by 80% of Americans, because we, on the conservative side, can never get our message out. Yes, WMDs were there all along, Bush did not lie, but we've dealt with this eternally because we can't message to save our lives.
We have got to figure out, what are we going to do to go forward? What are we going to do to be able to protect our country from this person who happens to be in the executive office currently? What are we going to do? We can't look back. We can't say what's been wrong, what's been right. We have to look at the current situation and say, what do we have to do to make this work
if
correctly?
He does a deal with Iran, the only answer is to threaten him with impeachment. We got to go back after our break here. This is Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Come on back after our break, and we have even more good stuff, and we're until the end of our time at 8 o'clock. So come back after the break. Ladies Can We Talk.
If you've got questions, we've got answers.
660 AM.
The Answer. The Mark Davis Show.
The Mark Davis Show.
A brash New Yorker bathed in love in an Alabama football stadium? That's how fascinating these times have become in the summer of Trump. Hey, school's back in session, but our classroom never shut down during the summer. I learned plenty from you, and for Monday, I hope to learn more. Your thoughts on the weekend's news events, the passing parade of topics. Let's ring the school bell at, let's say, 7:05.
The Mark Davis Show, weekday mornings at 7, right before Mike Gallagher at 10, on 660 AM, The Answer.
We will all be hearing a lot about pay equity for women over the next couple of years. Turns out, when you put together two big studies recently done, one by the Fraser Institute, a Canadian free market think tank, and the other one, the United Nations Human Development Report, it turns out, for gender equality, you can't beat capitalism, free markets. Women in economically freer countries hold more elected seats in government, have longer life expectancies, achieve higher education levels, and earn higher incomes than do women in less economically free countries. And this is true whether the country is a rich country or a poor country. So the next time you hear a politician say, I support pay equity for women, jump up and down and say, great, this means you're going to stay out of the economy. This means you will not mandate paid maternity leave, paid sick leave, and other government meddling in the free market economy. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and ladies, can we talk?
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Debt Relief Advocates now, 1-800-500-8980. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Debt Relief Advocates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-500-8980. That's 1-800-500-8980. 1-800-500-8980.
Hey, it's Mark Davis. Got a question. Are you always reaching for your reading glasses? Pick up a book, reach for the glasses. Look at a text, reach for the glasses. Open a menu, you get the idea. How about reaching for something else, like the phone? Climate Evangelist Eye Center is there at 1-800-714-2020, 1-800-714-2020, with the corneal inlay procedure. A great treatment for that dysfunctional lens syndrome you've heard me talk about. If you're constantly reaching for the readers, the corneal inlay procedure was designed with you in mind. So check it out. 1-800-714-2020. 1-800-714-2020. Schedule a free screening for the corneal inlay procedure. Find out if you're a candidate. Evening and weekend appointments are available. So call now. Talk to Climate Evangelista. The team member's there for an appointment time that's convenient for you. 1-800-714-2020. Reach for the phone and maybe stop reaching for the readers. 1-800-714-2020. 1-800-714-2020. Or myinlay.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has taken people by the hand and taught them how to invest in real estate for over 24 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won local, state, and national investor of the year awards 9 of the last 9 years. It's easy to see why Personal Real Estate Investor Magazine named us the best in the U.S. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to passiveincomedallas.com to access our free live training event schedule.
660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. As happens almost every week, we end up with a really short segment for the last one because we go long, because we like all the things we talk about. But before we launch into our presidential fun, I do want to take a moment to thank the sponsor for this program, Ladies Can We Talk. This program is sponsored by GC Works, and I'm truly grateful for their support. I just couldn't do it without them and really appreciate the company. It is GC Works is a Dallas-based company. It performs research in advanced technology and delivers innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. Many, many thanks to GC Works. Okay, ladies, here we have. We're near the end. So, big scoop out yesterday was that Joe Biden, Vice President Biden, apparently had a lengthy meeting with United States Senator from Massachusetts, a Democrat. She's pretty much a socialist, too, Elizabeth Warren. And there's great speculation that with Hillary's campaign crumbling and all of her email hassles and other things that are going on, that, and apparently, this is another topic, but Obama appears to be undermining Hillary every step of the way. In fact, I saw a funny tweet about that that just said, do you remember that Hillary's the one that brought out, raised the birther question with Obama? Did you remember that? And then just said, he does. So he's after Hillary. But anyway, so what do you think about Biden-Warren? Does that scare the daylights out of you? Is that a good team for the Democrats or bad or what?
It's a great team for the Republicans.
Oh, so you think they're not very strong. Why do you say that?
No, not at all. Are you kidding me? This is supposed to be the party of diversity, and they're pulling out people out from the closets that they've had in there. Well, let's bring out Uncle Joe. Come on. You know, give me something we can work with. Everybody's looking for this voice in the wilderness, and we get Joe Biden and Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren?
Exactly, Jenny. And we've got to deal with the economy. What are they going to say to the American voter about how they're going to jazz up the economy? Here's what we have: stimulus, debt, and zero interest rates. And we just had a 530-point drop in the stock market. Nobody knows if this is a correction or if we're over the cliff. Because here's one thing I know: what can't go on forever will stop. We need new direction.
Well, let me say one thing: is this wonderful thing that's happening in China's economy is going to kill us. It is going to kill us.
You're a little bit of an economist, Sarah. Tell us quickly what that is.
Well, the fact that we're talking about the export-import rates, and China has just made it possible for imports that they're having come into our country. By the way, they have most favored nation status, so they get extra credit for that. But they're going to be able to outsell us by having lower prices. And we're going to get killed by that. There's so much happening right now with the issues with the oil prices going down, no clear new markets. What's going to kill the Democrats is going to be the economy.
I have to say, I'm going to take a counter position to both of you people over there on the other side of the aisle. No, we're all on the same side. But a couple things. One is, Obama got reelected in 2012 when, you know, the economy was not good. Nobody had jobs. When he passed Obamacare, even a majority of Democrat voters who voted for Obama said they want Obamacare repealed. I say all the things you're talking about, which I agree with you, the economy is a mess, is caused by liberal policies. To my sense, there are too many voters in America who will simply say, she seems nice, he seems nice. They don't connect the dots between, and they also, if they're government benefits are keeping them afloat. If they have a job or benefits or some combination, they don't give one rat's toe you know, whether the economy is bad, what the trade, you know, what the import export deal is with China, they don't care. And so it is a messaging problem for us to be able to make people who are, you know, the low information voters see what problems are real to them that actually impact them. Now, I will say we've had a lot of conservatives stay home the last two presidential election cycles. So maybe with a really exciting candidate on our side, and they have just, you know, two old white people, but she would be the first woman vice president if Elizabeth Warren. She's actually kind of engaging. I hate to say that. She's a big fat liar, but she's very engaging. So I don't know. I feel nervous about that ticket. It makes me more than ever think if we had Jeb Bush as an example as our candidate, dead in the water.
I think we would get killed. I agree with you on that. And I totally understand.
He's the Perry
that.
Como candidate.
Yes. I totally understand exactly what you're saying, though. There are going to be concerns no matter who we're running against if we don't have the right candidate to go against them. And the Republicans and the GOP and conservatives have been challenged for some time with an issue with messaging. But I will say that there is so much disapproval now going on Obama. That recent polls have come out where they've said that his disapproval ratings continue to rise. And people are not happy with where they're at. I mean, it's sort of like the old message that Reagan put out 4 years. You know, it's been 4 years. Where are we? Are we happy in America?
Yeah, are you better off now? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I realized because we got rolling too long, we got to kind of wrap up here. But I do say that this whole conversation again ties back to our conversation earlier with Lawrence Billy Jones about our ability to message and have a positive message and embracing. We can do better. We want you to join the American dream. A positive embracing message has to come from a candidate who can speak that way. So we are really, really close to out of time. We have about 30 seconds. I want to quickly say thank you so very much to my two leading ladies tonight, Mari Sullivan and Jenny McGarry. I want to also thank a gentleman who called in the first hour, Lawrence Billy Jones. Fabulous. Guest. Thanks to my technical director, Dan Bradford. My biggest thank you to you, our listeners, to Ladies Can We Talk. If you have comments or thoughts about the show, please contact me. You can follow me on Twitter at Debbie Can We Talk. Email me at ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. Get on our Facebook page, Ladies Can We Talk. We have lots of great stories up. And go to the website, ladiescanwetalk.org. And remember to always speak up for America. This is Debbie Georgiadis. Tune to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday, the new voice for women who love liberty on 660 AM, The Answer.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Here's a quick way to figure out whether someone loves American-style liberty or not. Ask about American exceptionalism, because I'll tell you what American exceptionalism is based on. It's about the idea in the Declaration of Independence that all men and women are created equal, that we have rights from our Creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's about a constitution that both limits and defines government's power. It's about the freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. It's about the values that emerged from the Declaration and Constitution. It's about limited government. It's about morality based in the Bible's teachings. It's about rights of the individual, not the group. It's about self-reliance and opportunity. It's about family structure. It's about free markets, not collectivism. It's about the rule of law. It's about predictable and limited taxes and regulations. It's about optimism, the can-do spirit, the sense we can go as far up as our dreams, efforts, and abilities take us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about.
Frank, I really think we need an American Home Shield home warranty.
But we have homeowners insurance.
I'm worried about our home appliances and systems breaking down, like our air conditioner. Homeowners insurance doesn't cover any of that. A home warranty does.
But homeowners insurance covers stuff that might happen, like a meteor crashing into our house or a Bigfoot attack.
A Bigfoot attack?
There's a Bigfoot outside now.
That's the neighbor's dog.
Mm-mm, sounds like a Bigfoot.
Homeowners insurance can cover the things that might happen, like Bigfoot destroying your home. But an American Home Shield home warranty covers what will happen, like your home systems and appliances breaking down. Protect your budget from covered breakdowns of up to 21 major home systems and appliances. Your